Good morning and welcome to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1. I'm Michael Detweiler, and today I have a friend on the show that I'm very excited for you all to hear and meet. Her name is Kim Craven. So welcome, Kim.
It's good to be here this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming in and sitting down. So tell us about Kim Cravens. Where does the story start, and where did you grow up, and all those good things?
So I'm originally from Ohio.
Wow, I am too.
So I was born in Bryan, Ohio, which is the capital of Dum Dum Suckers. That's
okay.
Where Dum Dums are made.
Nice.
It's home of Ohio art, the Etch-A-Sketch. So
neat.
Two things there where I was born. I lived in Ohio until I was 14.
14.
And then we moved to Livingston, Tennessee. For my dad's job.
Okay.
A company wanted to open up down here, kind of away from the unions and all that.
Yes.
So
y'all moved here. And now, Bryan, what part of the state?
It's northwest corner, so up close to Toledo. But we actually lived right where Michigan, Indiana, Ohio all came together. We had lots of good snows.
Yes. Unfortunately, we don't get those great northern Ohio snows.
Yeah. Well, and we rarely miss rarely miss school because of snow. Like,
yes.
If it was a bad snow, you'd give them 2 hours and the roads were clean and you could go to school.
You could go on. Yeah. That was, we moved from Ohio to Indiana. And so I was in like first, second grade, maybe third as well. For those seasons, and we never missed. I mean, it was dark, it was snowing, you saw the lights on the school bus coming, you know, and you just got out to the road and got on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but just so people know, the roads up there are basically flat.
They are.
And straight.
They are.
There's no hills.
That's right.
There's no curves.
That's right.
I definitely understand why.
Yes.
We miss school quite often.
Yes, absolutely. It's a totally different world. And So you grew up there through age 14, which
mm-hmm.
was like ninth grade.
So I was in eighth grade when
we
moved.
Okay.
I was old for my class.
Were you?
I was actually
nice.
The oldest.
You were one of the leaders,
yeah.
Right? The older kids, when you're that young, are typically the leaders, right?
Well, so when I turned 16, at the beginning of my sophomore year, I was driving everyone around.
Nice.
You know, because back then it was all, the goal was how many people could you fit in your car?
That's right. We didn't have all these crazy rules we have now. So.
Yeah.
So you all moved to Livingston. Was that I can imagine at 14, because those are formative years. Was that a culture shock for you to go from northern Ohio to rural eastern middle Tennessee?
Hey, well, a little bit, yes, most definitely. I really didn't want to move, I'll be honest. That's something my dad and I can laugh about now, but it
sure.
was a source of contention
I'll
at the time.
I bet it was. I can only imagine. As a father of a 13-and-a-half-year-old, I can
mm-hmm.
imagine if I said, hey, honey, we're going from Cookville to northern Ohio, for instance,
yep.
that would not go over well. So you all move here. Was the acclimation process, because, you know, frankly, again, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but you don't sound like you're from northern Ohio.
So I had some very country friends,
okay.
obviously, that were influential probably on my accent. But I will say this. There was another girl who had moved with us. Now, I didn't know her, but her father got transferred as well.
Mm-hmm.
And people made a lot of fun of us in class because we had a pen. You know, you'd say pen.
Pen, yeah.
Or oil.
Right.
They'd laugh. Oil? What's oil?
Right.
Oil.
Oil. Or you said pop or soda,
mm-hmm.
right? You know,
yes.
Versus everything's Coke.
Cola.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, no, I don't want a Coke.
Yeah.
I want a Dr. Pepper.
That's right. That's right. You actually say what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But it didn't take long. I would probably say after about 2 years or so, I think I would go visit my grandparents back in Ohio, and people would be like, what happened?
You've got a Tennessee accent. And you're like, no, I don't. Yeah, you guys talk funny.
Well, I'm proud to claim the South as my home now. So.
I hear you. I'm the same way. You know, all those years of living up north and being here since 1976, this is home,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sure I may talk Southern. That's okay. You know, that's what I am.
That's right.
So again, you move here. Was it easy to make friends at that age?
It was. Everybody was really welcoming. And I'll say this, I think that the teachers that I had at the time knew that was a hard transition.
Sure.
And made it much easier.
Sure.
Just by being kind. And I will say this. So corporal punishment was much more happening down here than it was up north. Now, they did it, but if you got spanked up north, it was because you did something really, really bad.
Right, right.
Well, down here, it would be like they'd walk in the room and say, everybody who's standing or talking, stand up.
Stand up.
And then they'd take everybody out in the hall. Well, the kids soon learned that if me and the other girl, if one of us stood up, they would never take them out. So then they'd always say, stand up. Stand up.
Yeah, because they're the new girls. We're not going to do that to them. So yes.
I did make it all the way through school with never receiving a spanking.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I think I got one when we moved from, we actually moved from Indiana to Maryland to Mississippi. The third day, I think, in Mississippi in school in fifth grade, I got a paddling, and I'm like, what? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I got them at home, but certainly didn't get them in school. Same thing. So did you go to Livingston Academy once you were out of?
Sure did. Went to Livingston Academy. You know, every time you went on the road, you'd tell people where you went to school. Oh, you go to a private school.
Private school. That's it.
No, we're anything but a private school.
It's just the name of our school.
But we claim it, and I can give you a good H-O-G-E-Y-E.
That's
it. Hog-eye, TNT.
That's it. That's awesome. So you get done and graduate, and so where did you end up going to college? Or did you take a break and work before going?
No, I worked all through high school, and
okay.
I will say this. I worked at the Dairy Queen in Livingston.
I was going to ask that. Were you a Dairy Queen person?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the time, there was Dairy Queen and Druthers. Those were basically the only two fast food places, and Hardee's came in while I was in high school.
Okay.
And I can remember people lined up
for Hardee's. I love
to get a biscuit.
I love it.
But the Dairy Queen was great. I worked for Frank Walters, and he still owns the Dairy Queen today.
Yes, he does.
And he was awesome. They were good to us. He scared me at the time, but we're good friends now. But I was working there when the blizzard came out.
Yes. So the crazy blizzard.
Yeah.
Yes.
So several years ago when they had like the 25th anniversary of the blizzard, I was like, oh, I'm old now.
Yeah, that went by really fast, didn't it? Yeah, the blizzard changed the sales volume for Dairy Queen significantly,
mm-hmm.
you know, because not only would people then come try the blizzard, they start coming back for, you know, and they go, hey, their burgers are great,
mm-hmm.
you know, the food's awesome.
Oh, the food was awesome.
Yes, and so I think the blizzard brought a lot of new customers
mm-hmm.
to Dairy Queen. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was really fun.
So you did that through high school.
Mm-hmm. And then... So I went my first year to UTC, Chattanooga.
Sure.
My brother was in school down there, and I loved it. I pledged a sorority, Alpha Delta Pi. But I think my brother was always worried what his little sister was doing, so I transferred back to Tech.
Did you?
And once I came back to Tech, our relationship was great, and he's one of my good friends today.
Oh,
we live about
awesome.
A mile away from each other.
That's
so
awesome.
So, yeah, so I came back to Tech and graduated there with a – BS in biology.
Okay, awesome. And so what were you, as you thought about that track, how were you going to take that degree in biology? Kind of what was your plan once you got out of school?
Well, so then after I graduated, I actually went down to Vanderbilt. They have an allied health program, and I went to medical technology school for a year. It's
okay.
a year-long program. So I actually worked in hospital
sure.
laboratory after I got out. So I worked at Vanderbilt for, I don't know, 2-3 years. Got married right after I graduated Tech.
Okay.
So, and we lived in Nashville for about 3 years or so.
To Big Doug Cravens.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
I love
right.
him. He's such a good guy.
Yeah, so. He is. And he's from Jamestown, so we're both Upper Cumberland people.
Nice. And so how long, with y'all living in Nashville, how long did it take for you to get back to this area?
So we moved back to Cookeville. I think it was like 97,
mm-hmm.
97. He took his job at Mid-State Construction in Livingston.
Sure.
So, and he's been working there ever since.
Yes.
So we knew when we wanted to start maybe thinking about having a family that really Nashville was probably not where we wanted to be.
Sure.
And the funny thing is we thought traffic was terrible in Nashville then.
Yes, it's crazy, isn't it?
That's nothing compared to what it
yeah.
is now.
It's kind of funny how we, you know, are in high school or whatever, and I know kids think like this today, is that I can't wait to get out of here kind of
mm-hmm.
syndrome. But then when you get to the big city and then you start thinking, okay, my next phase of life, you know,
our area is really attractive. And I did that. I mean, when I got out of school, I ended up going to work in the Nashville metro area. And it was ready as I started thinking about family and future and everything else. It was really important for me to get back here. And so I think our area has a lot to offer. And, you know, it's funny you talk about traffic. I, too, thought in the 80s that Nashville traffic was crazy. Yeah. And so it's, you know, it just it's
well, back then,
changed.
Rush hour was truly like, what, 7 to 8?
It was.
And then 5 to 6.
It was.
I mean, it was an hour long. And now rush hour is basically all day long.
All day, it is. It's like, you know, with our daughter going to Vanderbilt, for medical care, you know, we get out and we're thinking, okay, it's 2 o'clock, you know, we're going to be able to buzz on home. No, that's not how it works. Now, in the pandemic, traffic was
Much better.
Much better, but, you know, it's still crazy. So you all get back to this area. Your husband's at Mid-State. What were you doing at that point?
So I was working at Vanderbilt Medical Center. And so when we came back, I thought, well, I'll either try to get on at the hospital, or I'd been thinking about maybe getting my master's in business, just maybe kind of doing some healthcare management or something. So when we came back, I ended up going back to school full time for my MBA and working at Bobby Q's.
There you go, at Bobby Q's on North Washington.
That's right, it was.
That's right, before it was on the square. So if you recognize the voice, we are talking with Kim Cravens today and talking about family and early life and living in Ohio and going to school at TTU and Vanderbilt. And so on the other side, we'll discuss further things in her life. Very interesting person. Stick with us. You're listening to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1. I'm Michael Detweiler, your host, and my guest today is Kim Cravens. And as we went to the break, we were talking about she and her husband Doug had gotten married, were living in Nashville, and started thinking about family and coming back to Cookeville. So he got a job at Mid-State up in Livingston. Yeah, which he's still there today, and they get back to Cookeville, and Kim is enrolled back in school at Tennessee Tech University, right?
That's right. That's right. Got my master's in business.
That's so awesome.
Took night classes. I guess my classes were on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I was there from 5 to 9.
There you go.
Taking classes full time, and I also did a graduate assistant for Dean Virginia Moore in office. So did some work in there too.
That's
I almost forgot
great.
About that.
Wow. I know, because time flies and you're like, wow, I did a lot of things.
That's
and
right.
In the days, I mean, you filled up the days, you know, going to school at 9 o'clock.
For sure.
My
and
goodness.
At the time, President Bell was the dean of the
go.
Business college. So.
Wow.
And he became president just shortly thereafter. So
that's neat. We are dating ourselves here, you know.
I know. So
so I know you all have children. When did they come along during that time or later?
So I actually had Mallory, our oldest, was born in May of 98, and I graduated in August of 98.
Okay. Wow.
So as I was finishing up my classes, Doug would come home on those Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I'd basically go, here.
Here.
And he'd have like, you know, 4 hours of what do I do?
That's right.
Which you figure it out.
You
but.
Do. You do. And those are some of the most fun times.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you look back on it and you go, I miss those times.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But it takes getting older.
It does.
To realize that. It, what you thought was hard then
right.
is really not hard
it's
now.
Not, it's not. It's not. What is, I say it from time to time, Frank Sinatra sang a song, something about youth is wasted on the young, you know? And it's
that's the truth.
Because you get older and you think about, wow, that wasn't hard times.
Right.
So y'all have how many children?
So we have three girls, Mallory, Abby, and then Olivia. So mm-hmm. Abby is a junior at ETSU.
Okay.
And then Olivia is a senior at Cookeville High School. So my baby's about to graduate.
I can't believe that.
I know.
Mean, that has gone by so quick.
Yeah.
And she's had a good soccer career, right?
We really had fun playing soccer.
Yes.
It really was. We had one little tragedy, broke her collarbone, her junior season. So we were very thankful that she recuperated well. I mean, she broke her collarbone early September,
mm-hmm.
and she was able to play in their tournament games by the end of that season,
yes.
which was remarkable.
Yes, it is.
And then, of course, we got to play this year, and just very thankful for that,
absolutely.
Considering everything that has gone on. I mean, I was watching Fox National News this morning,
yes.
and how kids in New York are just now getting to play sports, and it's like, oh, we've been doing that the whole time.
I know, and it's kind of surprising how it's different from
mm-hmm.
state to state. And I'm glad that we were able to get, you know, because going to those games and, you know, obviously, you know, that, you know, I have nieces that
mm-hmm.
play, and it's just so much fun to be out there.
It was, it really was. And that was just, I mean, and if it takes wearing a mask to be able to watch your kid play soccer,
yeah,
I'll put the mask on, wore it to the football games, watch my nephew play.
Absolutely.
So.
That, I mean, I'll do that all day long
mm-hmm.
if I have to do it. So the kids are, so where's she headed? Has she picked out a school yet?
She has not. I think she's trying to decide between Tech, which we've not heard from TTU yet on scholarship. So if anybody's listening, that can make a big difference.
That's right. Mark Wilson, if you're out there.
Well, she's not looking to play soccer.
Okay.
She realizes that soccer becomes a job once you
go
to college.
No, it does.
So.
It does. My niece Carlin, you know, played for the high school and had several offers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, her mom and dad were like, well, which one are you taking? And she says, I'm not going to take any of them. I just want to go to school, be
mm-hmm.
a student, and not have the job,
right.
basically.
It definitely takes commitment and dedication. And,
yes.
you know, if we thought she was going to go play on the U.S. women's team, then
sure.
maybe. But
sure. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
And you have to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, I mean, you let your child make those decisions
mm-hmm.
on, you know, is that something you want to continue in
right.
college? And sometimes it's a good fit.
Yep.
Sometimes it's not.
That's exactly right.
And I don't think the general public, unless they've played college sports, knows the dedication it takes for the athletes to manage, you know, their school load,
mm-hmm.
which is totally different than high school. And then also manage the requirements that you have playing a sport.
Yep, that's exactly right. So she realized that wasn't the path she was going to take, but that's okay.
Sure.
So she's looking at ETSU, UT Chattanooga. She's had a couple of good offers from there as well. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, any bit of money helps, you know
I
that.
I hear you.
So.
Well, I mean, we're blessed in Tennessee to have great state schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you mentioned, ETSU and UTC and TTU, we are blessed
mm-hmm.
to have great
state schools and to get a great education right here in Tennessee.
Well, that's absolutely correct, because my older two got good offers. I mean, Mallory went to Tech, and by the time she graduated, she'd usually end up with some money, you know, based on whatever books she had to get and stuff, maybe a little bit left in her pocket. And sure. Abby's pretty close to the same thing. So right. we're grateful that they put in the hard work.
Absolutely.
And it paid off for them.
And,
so.
And the stat I love to quote to people is that, you know, Tech graduates have the lowest debt on average of any school in Tennessee. This includes public and private.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tech students earn an average of the second highest average starting salary across any school, public or private, across the state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. They're second only to Vanderbilt.
Yep.
That's an incredible stat.
It's amazing. It really is. And, you know, Mallory, when she was trying to decide, she really thought she wanted to go to UT.
Sure.
And we went up there and visited, and we got in the car, and I could tell. It's like, what's wrong? She goes, I really thought this was where I wanted to go to school. And she goes, but I don't think it is.
Sure.
I was like, well, we got to go to plan B. So she finally decided to go to Tech. And I said, listen, I said, we'll be as far away as you want us to be.
Sure.
And as close as you need us to be. And she loved it there.
That's
she was
great.
Involved. I mean, you know, the big key is getting involved in campus and
sure.
not just, and she moved out. I said, you're moving out. We don't
right,
want you
right.
here. You don't want to be here. So.
That's right. You need to be out on your own, you know, to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I totally get that. So, again, if you're recognizing the voice, it's Kim Cravens, and we're certainly glad to have Kim on the show today. And we will come back and have more with Kim. You're listening to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1. Welcome back to Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1. I'm Michael Detweiler, and you've been listening to Kim Cravens. Here is my guest. So, Kim, fast forward, who do you work for, and then what other kind of interesting so-called side hobbies do you have in life?
Well, so currently I'm working for Johnson & Johnson, Janssen Pharmaceuticals. I'm an institution rep, so basically my main job is to go into hospitals with my drug, which is Xarelto. I've been doing that. It'll be 4 years in May.
Interesting. And so are you able to get into hospitals during the whole COVID?
Well, we have been working from home since like March, 9th or so. So I'm thankful for the fact that their commitment to the employees was that
sure.
we're going to keep them safe and keep them employed.
Sure.
We've been able to do a lot of virtual Zooms with certain customers. There's some people who didn't want to do it. And then,
sure.
of course,
and that's what, like email and phone then is
mm-hmm.
how you stay in contact.
Right. You know, because we want to make sure that they have the resources that they need for their patients.
Sure.
So if we needed to ship them some things, we could do that. And just stay in touch with them and just reach out and say, hey, we know you're busy.
We're here for you.
We're here for you if you need us. But we are grateful for all the healthcare workers. It's
sure.
And especially these last few months. I mean, it's been a hard time for them, I know. And we're just thankful for them. And I'm thankful I still have a job.
I
and at
you.
Some point, we'll be able to get back out and
sure.
and go see everybody in person. And we can patiently wait till that time.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful that things are better at the hospital here and
sure.
seems to be getting better.
I think the yeah. most recent number I saw, the average running over 5 days, was I think 17
mm-hmm.
in at CRMC, which that's as low as it's been
in a long time.
Long time. So, and we'll pray that continues
absolutely.
to be low. So Xarelto is a popular drug. I mean, it's, you know, you all seem to have, again, I'm an outsider looking in, but if you base it upon, I mean, they market it really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of different indications for it. So it's a versatile drug as well. So.
That's great. That's great. And so your territory is what? What do you cover?
I cover Cookeville to Clarksville.
Okay.
Spend most of my time in Nashville when I actually am on the road.
Okay.
That's where the bulk of the customers are at. But
okay.
I love having my hometown. It means a lot to be able to just talk to the people that are here in our community and care for them. So I'm thankful that Cookeville is part of my territory.
That's great. That's great. Do you do anything else that maybe people may or may not know about?
School board,
right. You've been on the school board for how long?
Since 2012.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's an office that you have to run for and campaign and mm-hmm. knock on doors.
Yeah.
How was that? Was that interesting, difficult, easy?
It's a lot of work.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, I mean, you know, my district is just, it's County Commission's District 11 and 12. So you just have a small portion of Putnam County.
Sure.
And I felt like that was a lot of territory to cover. For these people who have to do either a countywide election or even a district or statewide, I can't imagine.
Yeah. It's, I think Putnam County is going to be around 80,000 or so when we get the numbers in.
Mm-hmm.
And just to run for office and, like you say, in a district, you know, you're in 11 and 12 County Commission district. That's a lot of doors to
mm-hmm.
knock on.
So the first time that I ran, there were four people total running.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of work. We put out a lot of signs. My husband says he was my campaign manager.
There you go.
He went around on all the back roads, like out towards Bangham and Dodson Branch, and put up a lot of signs. He knew where he put up all the signs. I was like, I don't know how you remember all that, but we definitely had, and had cards printed up, had a lot of support. One thing that people may not know is that I went to the meetings for like 6 years.
Did you?
Before I decided to run.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, I didn't even really want to run, but God's going, you know what's going on.
Right.
You could be up there helping make a decision. You have kids in school.
Right. You are invested.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I knew if I did that, I wanted to do it while my girls were in school and I could make a difference. So the first time that I ran, I had one in elementary school, one in middle school, and one in high school.
Wow.
So, and it was definitely a lot of work. It was hot in the summer. I'd start out knocking on doors, and by the time I was done, the last person who saw me was probably like, man, that girl is gross and sweaty.
Sweaty, what is that? You know, and she's asking me to vote for her for school board. So you win. You're on the school board. Do they have baby member like training classes where you go from, brand new to?
Yeah, because it was definitely totally different being on the other side than it is being a parent sitting in the audience.
Sure.
So the Tennessee School Board Association, which is TSBA, they have a new member orientation that's a day long. Mm-hmm. And you go down there and the first thing they say to you is that your job as a school board member is to hire your CEO. The director, and let him run the school, him or her, and then make policy. That's really the only two jobs as a school board member that, you're charged with. Of course, there's other things that you have to be involved in, but that's the main goal.
What a novel concept. So you don't make decisions on whether schools open or close, but I'm sure you get text messages and emails on.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why did they do this? Blah, blah, blah.
So. Well, we get some insider information as far as we're traveling the roads and this is what's going to happen.
Here's what we're
seeing. Here's what's going to happen today.
Yes.
But I'm thankful we don't have to make that decision.
I hear you.
There's a good team. Kim Bradford over transportation, and then I know Corby goes, and I'm not sure who all else goes out right now, but they get up early and they go start driving the roads.
They do. And it's again in a county. It's not like our county has the same elevation. We go from 500 feet at Buffalo Valley above sea level to nearly 2,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you've got to make a decision for the entire system.
That's right. Because the state says you can't close part of it.
Correct.
Now, once we use all our snow days, you do have that capability.
Right.
If it truly is only Monterey, then you can say Monterey's closed. But we have to use all 13 days before we can even look at doing something like that.
Yes, dividing the system out to where some go and mm-hmm. some don't.
That's still a hard decision.
Sure it is. Because you want them to kind of all be on track in mm-hmm. the number of days, because you go to, 180 days, and I know some of that's changed.
Right.
So I guess in the last few minutes here, coronavirus, the pandemic has absolutely affected, decisions, for you all, for the director of schools, for the teachers, for the bus drivers, for the cafeteria workers.
Everybody. Yeah. I am so proud. So proud of our school system and every employee in our school system stepping up. I know it's not been an easy year for them. I know that the teachers having to, juggle with dual, with the people online and people in their class. It's been a hard year.
It has been.
And I'm grateful for everyone who has stepped up to the plate because kids need to be in school.
They do.
We know emotionally, socially, physically. School is the best place for them to be.
It is.
And for the working parent, that's a blessing.
Right. What do you do if the decision is they're all virtual and you're struggling to put food on the table?
That's exactly right.
He just compounds the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we've had our ups and downs with staff. Lost, three staff members, and certainly feel for their families, but going
Absolutely.
Back to health issues, I have a daughter that's been treated for cancer twice, and when we talked to her oncologist about school, he said, I want her in, period. He said the benefits of her being in far outweigh the downsides of her possibly catching coronavirus, and he said even with her compromised immune system.
That's a pretty big statement.
It is. And so and she wants to be in there. Mm-hmm. She just wants to be a normal kid.
Right.
So that's so
well, and that's everybody. So it's really been a good year. Has it been perfect? No, of course not.
Yeah.
But when Biden gets in office and says we're going to be back in school in 100 days, and we're all in Putnam County raising our hand, going, you know what?
We've been
rocking it.
That's right.
Since day one.
He's kind of tapped the brakes on that when the Chicago Teachers Union said, yeah, we're not going back,
mm-hmm.
and so it's sad that. Policy is so political when what's best for the students.
That's all you have to ask yourself every time.
Every time. Every decision as a school board member. And I'm sure you all do this because I know most of the members and I know they're solid people. And, and you have to ask yourself what's in the best interest of the students. And I can tell you again, I don't live in Chicago, but I can make this statement that what's best for those students is for those students to be back in school.
Absolutely.
And we saw, again, just a tragic situation in Las Vegas, twice as many suicides with students versus last year, blamed on the fact that they're trapped in their homes.
Well, they are. And kids, with the social media stuff that's out there, you can just get lost in that world.
You can. You can. And so we have to help our kids to navigate those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's it's something that we have to just continue to monitor. So we got 1 minute to go. Would you encourage someone to run for the school board if they're interested?
Absolutely.
Obviously not in the district that you represent.
Okay. That's okay. Because I don't, I didn't even think that I would run this time. But really what I heard the Lord whispering was we need consistency.
Yes.
It's like, why is that?
Why?
Now I know.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Well, yeah, that's right. Because we didn't certainly see a pandemic coming.
Right.
Flash back to, 2019. We saw it in China, and then obviously I don't think any of us thought in a million years that we would have faced some of the issues we faced. Well, Kim, it's been an honor for you to sit here. We've been friends for many years, and so thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you've been listening to Kim Cravens here on Local Matters, and this is News Talk 94.1.